Thwack! The laws of physics do not apply to the celestial city, nor do the laws of mathematics, logic, reason, or common sense. The heavenly home of the blessed dead was a square city, with walls that were 48,000 stadia long, and yet simultaneously of infinite length. Thwack! In such a place of impossible wonders and infinite variety, the blessed dead can find any scene, setting, or arena to suit their tastes. Whatever wholesome delights are sought, heaven is certain to possess them. Thwack! Joan of Arc, the Maid of Orleans, peasant girl turned armor-plated military leader turned religious martyr, had explored much of the celestial city. However, if she was said to have a favorite place, it would be a certain small garden where rose bushes thrived in the borders, and classical statues of eye-watering beauty dotted the lawn. Enclosed and sheltered from the business of the city behind a tall stone wall and a battered little door, so innocuous most people would hardly have registered it, it was possible that no one else even knew of this fragrant corner's existence, let alone ever entered it. That suited Joan's needs perfectly. The last thing she wanted was someone disturbing her. Thwack! Joan removed a nymph's pretty head with a backhanded swipe of her broadsword and then turned the blade's motion inward and ran the marble statue through, shattering its torso. Breathing hard, she lowered her blade and looked upon her handiwork. The fragments of statuary on the floor were already rocking and rolling back together. In heaven, even this low-level desecration of beauty was only temporary. Elsewhere in the city, every broken mirror was instantly mended, each spilled cup instantly refilled, each scraped knee instantly healed. The fact that the statues repaired themselves meant that Joan never ran out of targets to practice on. The fact that they refused to stay destroyed only fueled the discontent and irritation that coursed through her. Some days she ran riot around the lawn, trying to cut down every statue before any of them were restored. Other days she focused on just one and continually pounded it into dust, keeping it down for as long as possible. And yet on other days she gave up the statues and turned her ire on the roses, hacking them apart only to see them grow anew in moments. Right now, the smug, carefree nymph was whole once more. All signs of the damage Joan had wrought here were gone.
I hate you!
There was a low, savage growl behind Joan. She turned. The door to the garden was open. A huge, shaggy wolf with a patina of drool across its massive jaws glared at her hungrily.
Did you escape again? She said.
The wolf of Gubbio advanced on her, fangs bared and lips quivering. Joan raised the tip of her sword until it was millimeters from the wolf's nose.
Really?
She said, one eyebrow raised. The wolf of Gubbio gave its position a rethink, sat back on its haunches and scratched itself.
Better, said Joan.
The wolf of Gubbio whined.
No, I understand, she said. I really do.
Joan lashed out, decapitating a beautiful marble youth before sheathing her sword.
I think I've got anger management issues too.
The wolf went to have a sniff at the severed marble head.
I foolishly shared my sense of annoyance at the last committee meeting, said Joan. Do you know what that monstrous prig St. Paul said to me?
The wolf of Gubbio tried to take the head in its jaws and slobbered noisily as he failed to gain purchase on its smooth surfaces. Joan took that to be a beastly equivalent of, no, do tell.
He suggested that maybe it was my time of the month, which not only shows that he's a retarded and insensitive chauvinist, but that he fails to grasp the whole point.
Besides, if this were a less male-ordained heaven, there would be no time of the month.
The wolf of Gubbio gave up on biting the head and settled for licking it to death.
There's no time in heaven, said Joan.
I don't have a time of the month. There are no months.